tonight. I hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And looks like the storms are going to bypass us, at least here, that is. And believe they're south of us, but then they're going to be north of us, north corner up there. Yeah. So God's given us an umbrella. But anyway, so good to be here. And I want to jump right into things tonight. I do want to say right here in the beginning that I don't feel 100% tonight, and so I don't feel like I have, you know, anything crazy or nothing like that, but did want to get out there that right after the message, the lesson, I'll probably be heading on out. So I'm not trying to avoid anybody, just trying to get back to the house and lay down a minute, see, make sure I'm okay. But feel fine, just off kilter just a little bit. But anyway, we'll go ahead and get into our prayer requests and updates and praise reports. Brother Don Nettles had brought in tonight the funeral arrangements for Brother Charles. Says Charles here. I'm used to calling him Charlie. So Charlie Wilson. I know several has been asking about his arrangements. And so if you'd like a copy of that, we have some up front here. And I'll lay them on the pew. But it's going to be in Virginia. And just remember that. It's an out-of-state funeral. And still talking with, of course, Brother Jeff and I and Brother Ceylon had mentioned something. We'll try to get together something special here a little later for Brother Charlie. And being a faithful deacon for the number of years that he was here. And I got to know him at the tail end of his service here at the church. But what a blessing. What a blessing he was. All right. Missionary Mike and Marta Mullins over in Chile. She had surgery this week. And she had her thyroid removed, a tumor removed. And they're keeping an eye on things so they won't to detect cancer. And God willing, there won't be no cancer. So Brother Don had sent me a message letting me know that. And so I wanted to let the church know that she did go through her surgery just fine, and they're keeping an eye on things. So just remember the Mullins family, missionaries to Chile. Continue to remember Miss Connie Teague in your prayers as she recovers from her surgery, her latest surgery that she had with her shoulder and her finger. And so let's remember her, Brother Larry, Miss Christy as well, as they take care of Miss Connie. And good to see Miss Marianne with us tonight, as usual. How's Brother Ed doing this week?
He's having a rough week. He's having a bad week. He's getting these pains on his side. It's in the groin of his leg.
Yeah. Doctors.
Thank you.
That's muscular and skeletal, I think. Okay. Right. So he can get back to rest.
He's okay when he's just sitting. It's when he stands up, when he sits down, and lifts his leg up, when he gets in and out of bed, he rolls over in bed.
Right.
So.
We'll certainly remember him and you, for sure. But let's remember the Sanveys tonight. And Miss Helen Bennett, she went to the doctor on Monday, I believe it was. And Brother Larry contacted me and let me know that wasn't any kind of cancer or anything like that going on. And so we praise the Lord for that. Let's continue to remember Miss Cece and Chuck Prestridge with her mother and the breast cancer she has. And Miss Ruby Harper, Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles, Mary Kelly, Don Daly, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins and those serving in the military. And also, I mentioned something on Sunday morning. Brother Trail has a friend that has a 10-year-old daughter who's been having seizures. And so if we could remember her in our prayers, that would be great. All right, maybe someone has an additional request or an update or a praise or some kind of report to give tonight. I know it's spring break week, and all the kids are out of school. And so just remember the safety of spring break week for all of our kids. Let's remember our young people downstairs. Do we have any younger ones downstairs, like little ones downstairs? I believe it's just the teenagers. Just the teenagers, right? Thereabout. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll remember them tonight, and we'll also remember our teachers down there. And I did want to say, I just got this settled on our planner for April. Our last Sunday night fellowship of this month, we're going to have it over at the children's home out there in the big pavilion area and big field. You know, some of our people haven't been over there yet to experience the children's home and all of that. And so we're looking forward to that. We'll work out the details between now and then. But it'd be a good time, I think. It'd be a real good time. Something different and something enjoyable. All right. Anything else? Unspoken. Any more unspoken tonight? You can raise your hand. God knows all about it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's do continue to remember Brother Bobby, Miss Nancy, daughter Kelly, and son Tanner in our prayers. As they continue to move forward, just remember them. All righty. Well, if there's nothing else, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight, and then we will bring the lesson. And all that would, you can meet us in the altar, or you can pray right where you're at, whatever you choose. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 9. It's going to be our verse for tonight, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 9. And again, I don't know how long I'll be this evening, and but if we cut it short, it's because I'm not feeling that well. But otherwise, we'll go as long as the Lord wants us to go. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Notice what the Bible says. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. We see here that Paul, he's using that prison language again. He talks about being in bonds, and we know that what he's talking about there means prison. It means chains. It means he's in another one of his prison journeys where he's writing his letter. And so oftentimes Paul was found in prison for preaching the gospel and merely just living for the Lord. And so they put Paul in prison many, many of times. In fact, most of the New Testament, or a great deal of the writings of Paul, came from a cold, dark prison cell. And I get to thinking about that, and I can't help to think about this old, old movie I used to watch with my dad called Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood. I don't know if anybody in here has seen that. I see a couple smiles, a couple heads nodding. But I remember watching that movie and seeing rats crawl across the floor and, you know, just a harsh, harsh place to be, especially to live at. And so when I think about Paul being in prison, I kind of think about that scenario. There's rats, there's, you know, it's just cold and dark and dreary, and a lot of cruel people there. But that was Paul. And he done much of his writings from a prison cell. And you know, that really speaks a lot to us, and can speak a lot to us, that we don't have to have a perfect set of circumstances to walk with the Lord, to fulfill His call upon our life. And I don't want to get too far into that just yet. That's part of my message, my second point. But Paul learned something. Paul learned contentment. And Paul learned how to make the best out of every situation. And you know, I used to say many, many times that, you know, or at least I would feel on the inside, man, I'm just waiting on this perfect day. You know, there's going to be this perfect day where everything goes well and I get everything done. And, you know, the only problem with that is I'm still waiting on that perfect day. There is no perfect day. And so Paul, he learned that there is no perfect day. There are no perfect set of circumstances. And to make the very best out of any condition that you're in. And so it'll be good, be well for all of us. I know, again, I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, on Wednesday nights, but making the best out of every given situation, you'll be surprised what the Lord can do when our perspective changes off of our predicament and onto the Lord. Tonight, I want to visit three different spots. And these are three different prison spots where we see that God and His Word took action, and it achieved much, and it encouraged much. And so three different spots that I want to visit when it comes to these prisons. And we're going to talk about Paul in prison, John in prison, and then Jeremiah in prison. And the title of the message tonight is The Boundless Word. That's what I was trying to get at. The Boundless Word. Again, look with me in verse number 9. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds or chains, but the word of God is not bound. And so he's talking about God's word not being restrained, not being controlled, not being bound like he was bound. And that's a blessing tonight, because there's times when we are in situations that are dark, and there are times where we're in situations that are dreary, times that are situations that are definitely beyond us. And it's so refreshing to know that God's word is never bound. God's word is never under control. And because of that, we can take heed to God's word and find relief in some of the darkest, dreariest, hard circumstances. All right, number one, right here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see Paul in prison. And his circumstances didn't hold him back from achieving God's will of preaching the gospel. We know that God called him to be an apostle. And we know that he was a preacher of the gospel. Well, oftentimes, again, that had him end up in jail. And look at verse number 10. He says, therefore. He just got through talking about how he's in bonds and how the word of God is not bound. And then he says in verse 10, therefore, because the word of God is not bound, and although I am locked up, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so Paul is saying that I'm enduring what I'm enduring, this cold, dark prison cell, so that I may get the gospel out, even here. He says it's not easy out on the streets to do it, but much easier than you would think an old prison cell would be. But Paul says, I'm making opportunity. I'm not waiting till I get out to preach, but he says, I am preaching now because the word of God is not bound. They have me bound, but God's word is not bound. So he says, I'm enduring this stay at the prison so for the elect's sake, so those that are not saved may get saved. In verse number 11, he says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so we see Paul in prison, and he is sharing the gospel, and the gospel is moving in the prison. People are getting saved. Different books of the Bible, Philippians and some others, tell us that the gospel had free course, actually. Let's see. Turn over, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 1. I want to get this right. Philippians chapter number 1. I can find it myself. All right. So Paul's in prison again. And notice verse number 12. He says, but I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Back in verse number 12, he uses the words fallen out. And if you read that at face value, it almost right on the surface, it almost sounds like the gospel really didn't achieve much. If you read it again, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel. But the two words fallen out, it means aided. It means to accompany. And the word rather here means in a greater degree. And so you would think on the outside of the prison, the gospel would be spread more. But it was God's will that Paul would be incarcerated and thrown in that deep, dark, cold dungeon to witness to the guard that he was actually attached to, chained to, and then so that the gospel would spread through the prison, but also it encouraged the brethren. All of these things happened when he was incarcerated. The gospel was multiplied. And so you say, what are you saying, Brother Justin? Well, Turn back, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And so what I'm saying tonight is we may be in unfavorable circumstances, but God's word is never hindered. You know what Hebrews says in chapter number 4, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it lists all those other great things about the Bible. But the word of God is not bound, it's not hindered, it's not kept back, but it's alive and it's accomplishing God's will. And to me tonight, that's encouraging to know that the times where I feel restrained, the times where I feel held back, the times where I feel like that it's just not going my way, that sometimes I feel, you know, like I haven't done a good job for the Lord. But in all actuality, God's word is not bound. God's word is free. God's word is achieving what he wants it to achieve. And so that's a blessing. And so we see the boundless word tonight. And Paul is preaching the boundless word in prison. I think about over in the book of Philemon. You remember that story with Philemon and Onesimus? Love that story. Love that book. What happened there was, we know that Onesimus, he basically, the book tells us that, you know, he betrayed his master. And possibly he stole some goods and he fled away. And Onesimus left Philemon, his master's house, down a dark, lonely, broken road. We'll say broken road. And if you continue to read that story, you'll find out where evidently he ended up in jail. And so he left his master's house, the house of Philemon, and he went down a broken road and he landed up in jail. I say he landed up in jail because Paul says, my son whom I have begotten in my bonds. And so what if Paul wasn't in jail? What if he was on the streets preaching the gospel? Well, that would have been great, but he was, as God's providence would have it, he was incarcerated and came in contact with Onesimus. Onesimus got saved. As Paul mentioned, he begot him in his bonds. And I believe wholeheartedly that he sent the book of Philemon back with Onesimus to Philemon's house. And he says, if he has wronged thee on anything, put that on mine account, Paul says. And so it's amazing at the things that can be done for the Lord in unpleasant circumstances. When we feel trapped, when we feel like we're held back, when we feel like we're not really doing as good as we could do, circumstances are against us, circumstances are contrary. But see, church, tonight, the Word of God is boundless. It's boundless. We may be bound, we may be contained by circumstances, but God's Word is not. And so that's a blessing to know that when we're ministering. Now, there's a second place I want us to look at. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew 11. Again, we're talking about the boundless word. And we've seen how Paul was used greatly, incarcerated, because the word is boundless. Matthew chapter number 11, here we have the great John the Baptist, incarcerated. Verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Listen to this. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? We'll stop there. The great John the Baptist, who stepped on the scene, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The preacher of repentance, He is now incarcerated. He is now in prison himself. And he begins to doubt. Doubt crosses his mind. Now, in verse number 2, the Bible says that he heard of the works of Christ. And at this particular point, he sends 2 disciples to go ask him, are you the one or should we look for another? So it kind of puts you in John's mind. Maybe John didn't think he'd end up in prison, serving the Lord and, you know, preaching his word, presenting him to the world as the Lamb of God. Surely he wouldn't end up in prison. Well, the truth of the matter is, we don't know the outcome of where this road is going to lead us. We know ultimately we'll be in heaven. But what adversities may lie before us, twists and turns, valleys and mountaintops, we're not really sure what all's around the bend, what's on the horizon. And maybe John is doubting the Lord, the one whom he presented to the world because of his circumstances. You know, if we're not careful, and listen, I'm just as human as anybody tonight. There have been times when maybe not I doubted that he was the Messiah, he's the Savior of the world, but there have been times where I've said, Lord, what are you doing in this situation? Because it almost seems like you're contradicting your word. Although God never contradicts his word, sometimes he aligns us in positions like that so that we can trust him. Abraham and Isaac, remember what God told Abraham? He said, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And then he asked Abraham to offer up Isaac. Almost a contradiction. But yet Abraham was faithful and obedient, and he offered up Isaac. You know the story. Brother David Smith preached on it in Jubilee. And right when he was bringing the dagger down, he looked up, and behind him was a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. And so, back to my original idea here. We don't know where our road might lead us on our Christian journey, around every bend and turn, dark place, light place. We're not really sure. There's times where we just may wrestle with doubt. God, do you really love me? Lord, are you going to be here for me like you said you are in your word? Lord, is there really a purpose out of this? Because it really don't seem like it. Has anybody been there before? Or something tragic has happened, something unplanned has happened to you in your life. And you may not say it, but you may think it for sure. Lord, what could come out of this? There's no good possibly that could come out of this. And Lord, if I was you, I would choose a different person for this to happen to. I know I've said that before. In my own human flesh, not agreeing with what God has chosen for our life with different things. And so sometimes we wrestle with doubt. And so John is here. He's in prison. He has been God's forerunner. He has introduced him to the world. And while he was in prison, he heard about what was going on the outside of the prison. Verse 2, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent 2 of his disciples. So there was a question in his mind. I'm incarcerated, yet I hear about the works of Christ. Guys, 2 of you go and ask Jesus, is he the one or shall I look for another? Look what he says in verse number 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. How about that? And so that was the report they gave. John asked God, Lord, are you the one or shall I look for another? In his moment of weakness, he asked God that, and God returned an answer. I praise the Lord for the times in my life where in the infirmity of my flesh, I may have doubted God's purposes, I've doubted how he's working. I've cried out to him, and God has always answered me in some fashion, some way or the other. It may have just been a still peace to come over my heart and my mind. You know what I'm talking about. It may have been an open door somewhere. But nonetheless, we see here, this is just another picture of the boundless Word, how God's Word is boundless. John was in prison. Jesus was outside of prison, yet he sent word to John. Again, he said in verse 5, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And so what was that message to John? The message to John was this: John, I'm still able. I'm still able. You may be where you're at in a very dark, dreary place. You may have spent your life serving me, John, but I want you to know, when you call out to me, I will answer you, which he did. And John, the blind received their sight. The lame are walking. John, I'm performing miracles. I'm carrying the gospel. And I can release you from prison if I want to. I believe that was the words back to John. In his moment of doubt, the disciples went to speak to the Messiah, to Jesus, and they came back with Jesus' words that he is doing what he was called to do. Jesus, healing, preaching. And so John receives these words, and it has to register in his mind. Yeah, he's although I'm doubting and although I'm in this position I'm in, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing. If he can open the eyes of the blind, if he can allow the lame to walk, if he can do all of those things, surely he can rescue me in my situation. Tonight, the boundless Word. We know ultimately Jesus is the Word. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so whether we're talking about the Bible being God's Word, we're talking about the Word himself. He just has a way of not being held back by circumstances when we are. And he has a way of ministering to us during our dark times. And so we see John here being in prison, doubting the Lord, and yet Jesus answered him in the same fashion that he asked. And so we see that here. So we looked at Paul in prison, John in prison. And then lastly tonight, we'll spend a few moments here, Jeremiah in prison. Jeremiah 33 for a moment. Jeremiah 33. Listen to this. Verse number 1. Jeremiah 33, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, and then he mentions these things here. I want you to notice that where he was at, he was in prison. But also notice the word of the Lord came to him a second time. And so back in the previous chapter, chapter 32, in verse 2, Jeremiah was in prison there. Look in chapter 32, in verse 2. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. And you continue to read this chapter, you know, or down through verse number 3, look about middle ways down. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. He spoke to Jeremiah the first time in prison. And now, chapter 33, verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. And so while we see that Jeremiah couldn't get out, God was able to get in. And I know we say this so many times. I know you've heard it your whole Christian life. But realistically and truly tonight, there's times where we want to get out. There's times where we want our situation to change. But by providence, meaning by His divine plan in the grand scheme of things, the secret things of the Lord, the Bible talks about the things, the deep things, the things we don't know about. In the grand scheme of things, He can come to right where we are, and He can be our aid. And so Jeremiah was in prison a second time, and God still spoke. Jeremiah could not get out, yet the Lord got in. And by this, God reminded Jeremiah that he was not abandoned. He was not abandoned. You know, Paul uses, in one place in the New Testament, several different words describing how he feels, but then how he is in reality. In one place he says, cast down, but not cast out. And so Jeremiah was cast down, but he wasn't cast out. God had proved to him that the Lord would meet him right where he was at, there in prison. Of course, these things were an encouragement to Jeremiah. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 33. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is His name. Stop there for just a moment. Notice the word it there. It can mean a lot of things. And we assume he's talking about Jeremiah. In one sense, he is. He's also talking about the people of God. But I also believe that he's talking about the prison. And he's talking about anything that's included in his plan. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it. Formed Jeremiah. Formed Israel. Formed or put together his circumstance in the prison. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is His name. And so you can go many directions in that word, it. But we see that this was an encouragement to him, because we know that God was the maker of all things. He was the maker. He was the establisher. He says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is His name. So the Lord is speaking life into Jeremiah, where there's basically just death and darkness. He said, Jeremiah, I created you. I formed you. I established you. And I'm going to establish you even more through this circumstance. He says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is His name. Then, of course, the popular verse in verse number 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Right on face value, on the surface, this tells me that God's not done with Jeremiah. Because he's telling him and challenging him to call unto him. And he said if he would call unto him, he would show him great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, he's in prison. You know, he's not out on the open road, and he's not out ministering, being with the people of God. He's in prison, so God's telling him to, is challenging him to call unto him. And he says, I'll answer you. I'll answer you. And I'll show you some things that you're not going to be able to perceive where you're at. But there are the things beyond the fence. That's what those words, great and mighty things, you look that phrase up, it's the things beyond the fence. It's something that's not now, but it's something that's going to be. So Jeremiah is held back by a circumstance, But yet God, because He is a boundless God, because His Word's boundless, He sent His Word a second time right down to the prison, to the heart of Jeremiah, to encourage him, to let him know that He's the one who made him, He's the one that is establishing him, and for him to call unto God so that the Lord can show him great and mighty things. And so we see Jeremiah tonight, Jeremiah in prison. By this very challenge to call on God, he would reveal things to him that he couldn't perceive even of now. I said that already. The lesson tonight is just simply that, is that we serve a God who's boundless. His Word is boundless. And although we may be stuck at times, although we may be in jams at times, the Lord is never in a jam. I'm just going to read our text verse back to us as we close. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. So tonight, that's the lesson. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You, Lord, for who You are, for what You do. And God, tonight I just pray that the lesson made sense. And Lord, I pray that we would rely on Your Word, that I would rely on Your Word more than I do. To know that life doesn't have to be perfect in order to walk with You. In fact, the Christian journey has all kinds of ups and downs, but we have a boundless Word to help us through. And so, Lord, tonight we ask that You would just ignite all of our hearts, fill us with a passion after You and a love for others. God, I pray that You get us home safely this evening. And then, Lord, bring us back safely on Sunday. All of these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Anything to mention before we totally close out the service? Again, just remember, it's coming up Lord's Day. And looking forward to that. Pray that somebody will walk the aisle and get saved. Somehow return to the Lord. And all right. Everybody liking the church on the outside? Yeah. Looks like a different church, doesn't it? All right. Be careful on the front steps. On Sunday, the sun was beaming around them steps, and someone, I think, almost fell because they were so bright. So we may tone them down. We're going to get them toned down a little bit, hopefully before Sunday. We don't want nobody to fall. I seen Brother Allen, your Brother Allen, leaving on Sunday night, and I was looking, and he was walking down the stairs. It looked just like he was walking in sand. It was so bright. But anyway, we thoroughly are so proud of our church. All right, you're at liberty to go.